Glory to you, O Lord.
The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And people were bringing children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Man was at work one day and decided he needed to show his wife how much he loved her. So before going home, he cleaned up, shaved, put on some nice cologne, bought her a box of candy and a bouquet of flowers. He wanted to surprise her, so he went to the front door and knocked when he got home. His wife answered the door, took one look at him, and exclaimed, "Oh no, this has been a terrible day. First, I had to take little Billy to the hospital to get a few stitches. Your mother called and said she's coming over tomorrow. And then the washing machine broke down. And now this, you come home drunk." Marriage has inspired more jokes and stories than probably any other topic. But as Christians, we need to be very serious about marriage. For most of us here, it is our vocation. It is our pathway to heaven. It's also the only source of human life. For marriage is the sharing in the work of our Creator. Every week here, our liturgies challenge us to review the great issues of our existence, and the Word of God points the way forward for us. In today's world, marriage is in crisis. The breakup of families leaves many young people seriously deprived in their formative years. And without help from Christ, from His Word, we would be at a loss to find the truth that should guide us. In today's gospel, the Pharisees point out the Mosaic law that allows a man to divorce his wife. You see, there's a verse in the book of Deuteronomy that says, when a man finds in his wife something indecent, he can write a bill of divorce, hand it to her, and dismiss her from his house. But Jesus doesn't get into that discussion. He doesn't deny that Mosaic law exists. But instead, he speaks of the gold standard for marriage, the standard found in the beginning, in the plan of our Creator. Referencing today's first reading from Genesis, Jesus makes the radical assertion that true marriage is more than an arrangement entered into by two people. It involves God. He's always present in that arrangement. And what God has united, man must not divide. Jesus then gives his own interpretation of what truly is something indecent. He points out that it was their own hardness of heart which forced Moses to allow divorce. Hardness of hearts is an Old Testament term which indicates a hardened conscience, a tendency to sin, and a willful disobedience to God. I think we can easily relate the phrase hardness of heart to what's happening in our world today regarding married couples and their families. Infidelity, physical, sexual abuse, pornography, parents abandoning their children, fathers who are too often absent, neglecting their family. Because of the lack of witness, guidance, and understanding and affection from two loving parents, over 75% of our young people today are open to cohabitation and premarital sex. Many have no desire and see no reason to be married. During one of his audiences on the theology of the body, St. John Paul II spoke about human love and sexuality. He explained how it is that Jesus can make such an assertion about our hardness of heart. He said this, "The text simply speaks with great depth of what it means to be human. The solitude of Adam finds no companion in the animal kingdom. Because made in the image of God, Adam has in him a depth they could never fill. It is only in the sharing of human companionship that this mysterious depth of the human person can be filled. The Creator provides for Adam the perfect companion. This is last, at last, the bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. To deny this truth indicates a hardness of heart." Today, our Lord takes a strong stand and teaches that marriage should be between one man and one woman. It must be lifelong and indissolvable. He says this by quoting again from the book of Genesis. "But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man must leave his father and mother to be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." Christ's teaching about the indissolubility and the permanence of marriage seems pretty much out of place in our society today. Today, so many of us accept divorce as normal, almost expected. 300 years before Christ uttered these words, the philosopher Aristotle said, "Divorce is to the family what civil war is to the state." Simply put, divorce is destructive. Divorce destroys families. Let me pause here a moment and speak to those among you who may have gone through a divorce or maybe considering a divorce. We know the divorce is most often devastating and painful on so many levels. And I assure you the church realizes that there are so many serious reasons that relationships do have to come to an end. Since the matter of divorce is so personal and can be so destructive, please understand that our gospel today and my own comments are not intended to condemn or cause pain in any way. But our gospel sets a clear and high ideal of human relations. It puts forth the vision of marriage as a covenant of personal love between spouses, which reflects the covenant relationship of God and His people. Unfortunately, this vision does not always fit the unexpected and inexplainable changes of the human heart. Back in the 4th century, St. John Chrysostom made a beautiful suggestion. He said that every day, husbands should say these words to their wives, "I have taken you in my arms, and I love you, and I prefer you to my life itself. For the present life is nothing, and my most ardent dream is to spend it with you in such a way that we may be assured of not being separated in the life reserved for us. I place your love above all things. Nothing would be more bitter or painful to me than to be of a different mind than you." You can find this quote in the book, a book that I hope you already have at home. It's called The Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 2365. Next to the Bible, it's one of the most important books that you should have. I encourage you to pick up your catechism, read what the Church teaches about marriage, and share that knowledge with your children, grandchildren, and all those that you care about. But today, don't expect a lot of support from the world around us. It seems to have forgotten what marriage really is. But today, Christ reminds us of the truth. We must soften our hearts We must draw together as members of a Christian community. We must support each other in the vocation that God has given to so many of us. Studies have proven that if couples attend Mass together each Sunday, they have a 50 times greater chance of staying together. 50 times. And if they attend Mass and pray together every day, even if it's just prayers before meals and bedtime, their marriage is practically unbreakable. How simple. How important. We should all try to keep in mind what St. John Chrysostom said. We must strive to be together not just in this life, but in the life that awaits us. When troubles come up, lift your heads. Remember your goal, salvation of your souls, those of your children and your grandchildren. Today we're reminded that marriage is the most noble vocation. The great Christian theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "It's not love that sustains your marriage, but marriage that sustains your love." If we fully rely on God's grace, you and your family, your marriage, and your family will thrive. As I close, I ask you to pray for all those who have suffered because of divorce. And let us pray for more love, understanding, and forgiveness in our own marriages. Most of all, let us pray that in all our relationships, we may reflect the great compassion and love of our Creator.